This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل كما أخرجك ربك من بيتك بالحق وإن فريقا من المؤمنين لكارهون يجادلونك في الحق بعدما تبين كأنما يساقون إلى الموت وهم ينظرون. The series that I have embarked on, which is the laws of success or the laws of victory taken from the lessons of Surah Al-Anfal, which is what the surah talks about. It's the shortest within that cluster of surahs. Everything around it is over a juz, it's the only one that's only 10 pages. And it just gives us small and concentrated doses of exactly what is going to be needed if the ummah that you're a part of is to prevail. If it is to prevail, then these are the laws that it must adhere to. And I've already shared with you two of those laws. And I clumped them together not based on the sequence of the verses in the surah, but mostly based on the topics that I thought were relevant to us. And the two laws that I've talked about so far are money related. One of them was the anti-materialism. If you are materialistic, if you allow yourself to be consumed by the possessions that you have, if they own you instead of you owning them, then you have already began walking down the path of failure. And the second one was to give. The money that you have is there for you to use, to prepare yourself, to prepare your ummah, to use as endowment, to use as means to strengthen your society, your community, and to raise your children properly and to make sure that they have the proper values. And if wealth is not distributed appropriately, then we have a problem. The third law that I'm going to share with you today, and I think this series is extremely important, because as we continue to watch what is occurring all across the Muslim world, and this is not just what's happening in the Holy Land to our brothers and sisters in Gaza, but what's happening in Sudan, what's happening in other parts of the Muslim world that's been happening for the last 30 years. Most of the countries that have had horrific atrocities occur within them are still struggling under the effect of those atrocities. I mean, they actually never fully recovered. You can name whatever country you want, and we can go back over the last 30 to 40 years and talk about the number of misfortunes and calamities that the people of that country have gone through and continue to go through. This only brings closer and clearer to me the importance of talking about the long-term plan. Being in it for the long haul, caring about what's going to happen in the next couple of decades, maybe not today. Because the voices today that I'm hearing, and this has only happened over the last 2 weeks, where people are asking, why can't we do more? Why don't you do more? Who's not doing more? Why aren't you trying harder? Here's the problem. The problem with the short-term solutions, they're not satisfying. They are not satisfying. They're there. You have to be a part of them for sure. You have to protest and you have to boycott and you have to march and you have to put on social media and you have to speak and you have to send letters and you have to make phone calls. You have to. There's no way around that. For sure, that has to occur. If you don't do that, then basically you just don't care anymore, and that's a problem. But to actually see satisfying results, you need a long-term plan, which we don't have and we haven't had for a long time. We haven't. We respond to processes or to problems as they occur. We respond to them when they happen. We get very upset. And the khutbah have to go on the minbar and say things, and people get all emotional, and we fundraise and we send money, and then we try and do a few educational sessions and we talk to people, and then the bombing stops, and then we go back to living the exact same way that we were living prior to these things occurring. This has been the same cycle. This cycle has existed for at least, I can attest for it existing for at least 30 years. Because that's how long I've been aware. For 30 years, it's been happening at least. I'm pretty sure it's been happening for longer than that. But if you want to see a future that is not similar to the present that we are living, this disgusting and horrible present that we are living, then we have to come up with a long-term plan. There has to be more to our advocacy and to our work than just responding to momentary problems. Again, not to take away from the importance of the short-term work that's been going on as a community. We have been engaging in and participating in, alhamdulillah, has brought people together. But it's not even close to what needs to happen. Not even close. Many of you, when people started talking about boycotting and they started looking into it, came to this very painful realization. Right? When you looked at what you're supposed to boycott, you came to a very painful realization. You're looking at what? Can someone give us a list of what things I can buy? Can you just tell me what places I can go to and what I can actually finding out that we're way behind the curve here. We're way behind where we need to be as a nation, as a community, as a population, as an ummah. If you want that to change, we have to start talking business. We have to start actually looking to the source of our guidance. We have to go back to the one who taught us, the one who allowed us to become a nation to begin with. You look around you right now and you find in this room over 30 nationalities and races and cultures and backgrounds. What brought these people together? What brings us together on a weekly basis and makes people sit side by side? Side by side. Where else will you do this? Aside from any public transportation. The reason that we are an ummah is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us. He taught us certain things. We have to go back and learn them. We have to relearn that which we forgot or we have not learned appropriately. Which is why I'm going to share with you the lessons within Surah Al-Anfal, the laws of success or prevalence or victory, whatever you want to call them. And today we will talk about haqq. We'll talk about righteousness. On the 29th of March, I will repeat this khutbah again. It will be the 18th or 19th of Ramadan. So I will say it again. And if you want, we can take a look at the calendar, and I can go every Ramadan to the closest Jum'ah to the 17th, and I'll repeat the same khutbah. You're welcome to go attend somewhere else if you're bored of it. We will sit every single Ramadan on the 17th or something close to it. I will get on the minbar, and I will speak about the Battle of Badr, and I will quote these verses, and I'll repeat the same lesson, and I'm going to do it today. A little bit of a preview of what's going to come in a couple of months. This ongoing, everlasting lesson. If you listen to the verse, you find that I just recited, it starts in a really interesting way. He says, "Kama akhrajak," as he removed you from your home. He's referring to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam being removed from his home in Medina towards the caravan of Abu Sufyan, which was what happened right before the Battle of Badr. But why did he say "kama"? As I did, "kama" to what? What is he drawing a simile to here? What he's saying, if you read that first page in Surah Al-Anfal, saying, just like I taught you how to deal with the Anfal, just like I taught you how you should deal with the extra wealth that you don't need, that you didn't work for, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. Don't fight over it. Don't be consumed by materialism and make sure that it's put in the right position. Just like I taught you that, because I told you that a few weeks ago in a khutbah, that the Sahaba, they admitted, we didn't behave too well. We didn't behave too well when it came to the Anfal of Badr. We kind of, sa'at fiha akhlaquna, as Ubadah was saying. Our ethics weren't great when that happened. We made a few mistakes. He didn't want to point them out. He didn't have to. Jazallah khair. We got the message from the surah. It was clear. So he's saying, kama akhrajak. Just like he did that, he's going to teach you another lesson. And this lesson was that you needed to move from your home and go after that caravan. وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَكَارِهُونَ. And there was a group of believers, not hypocrites, not disbelievers, not those who have weak iman, not those who have diseases in their heart. No. Al-mu'minin. They're a group of the believers. لَكَارِهُمْ. They didn't want to. They didn't want to. You know why? They didn't want to because for them, why? Why would we leave? We're doing so well now in Medina. We're a community for the first time. We have a country. We're stable. The wealth that they took from us, the wealth that they deprived us of, that they snatched away unrightfully, the oppression that we underwent, the persecution that they had to put up with, that we still put up with, it's a far ago away memory. It happened a while ago. We don't care for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abdalana. He gave us better. Ya Rasulullah, we're happy. Why do we go after the caravan? Why poke the bear? Why poke the bear? That we don't need to. They didn't want to. They didn't want to go after the caravan in Quraysh because, like, is it money, Ya Rasulullah? We were just taught a second ago. I thought you just, in the surah, just a moment ago, you were saying money didn't matter. We shouldn't be running after it. Why are we going after the caravan? Who said it had anything to do with money? يُجَادِلُونَكَ فِي الْمَالِ. They're arguing with you about money? No. يُجَادِلُونَكَ فِي الْحَقِّ بَعْدَمَا تَبَيَّنَكَ أَنَّمَا يُسَاقُونَ إِلَى الْمَوْتِ وَهُمْ يَنظُرُونَ. After it became clear that when you told them we go after the caravan, they felt that they were walking towards their deaths. Sahaba were human beings. And they were intelligent and they knew what it meant to go after a caravan of Quraysh where Abu Sufyan was on the head of. They knew what that meant. It was their wealth. It was something that was taken from them. It was their rights. It was haqq. See, when they were told by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you need to go after the caravan, they were like, why? Money? We don't want money. We learned the lesson. We don't need it. We don't want to run after wealth. We don't need to do this. No. كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ. Your Lord removed you from your home in pursuit of haqq, righteousness. يُجَادِلُونَكَ فِي الْحَقِّ. They argue with you regarding righteousness. وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Sahaba a promise. Either you win a battle or you get the caravan. And in their hearts, they're all like, the caravan, please. No battles. The caravan, please. وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيَقْطَعَ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. 6 times the word haqq in 3 or 4 verses. Wasn't about money. It was about haqq. It was about rights. It was about righteousness. It wasn't about the wealth. Is that your wealth over there? Is that caravan rightfully yours? It is. I don't need it. I don't care. Who said anything about you needing it? I don't want it. Don't care either. Is it yours? Yes, go get it. Go get it. It's yours. Go get it. And then when you have it, you don't want it, give it back. Gift it back to them. Gift it back. Tfadl, here. I don't want it. I didn't need the money. But haqq is worth pursuing. Because the ultimate value in this universe is haqq. And you never step down or back away or shy away or look away or walk away from haqq ever. This is the only thing that defines you as a Muslim. Is haqq. His name subhanahu wa ta'ala al-haqq. He created خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. He created the cosmos and the earth based on righteousness. And if you bring any amount of falsehood into it, you ruin it. You refuse to watch as falsehood, as oppression, as persecution continues. Because you stand for haqq. You stand for it. You stand for what is right. That's what righteousness means. Righteousness is doing the right thing. Being clear, what is right and what is wrong? We stand by what is right. We stand over here by what is right. It doesn't matter. There's no strategizing. You don't strategize and figure out, well, no. Is this right and that wrong? Yes, you stand here by what is right. It's very simple. That's how they were raised, radiallahu anhum, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is what the Quran taught. The Quran in Surah Al-Anfal, talking about the Battle of Badr, was critiquing their behavior. They didn't want, lakarihun, they didn't want to go. They were arguing. They were arguing, why do we go? Why do we need to go after the caravan? Why poke the bear? That's nothing to do with the money. You think it's about the money? It's not about the money. It's about the haqq. It's about the rights. The rights that have been taken away from people. They need to come back. They need to be brought back. Justice must be served. And then you want to give up? Go ahead. It's not generous for someone to come and take something away from you against your will and you forgive them. That's not generous. That's cowardice. It's cowardly. No. You take back what is yours. You want to be generous? Give it back. Gift it back. I never wanted it. But you don't get to take something away. You don't get to oppress and persecute and get away with it. You don't. That is an Islamic fundamental law. This is a fundamental principle in our deen. This is one of the main Islamic values. The moment haqq doesn't exist, the moment haqq is not the most important value that we stand for as Muslims, nothing else matters. Everything else is just talk. It's just fun and games. It means nothing. If haqq is not the center value that we all rotate around in the way that we behave and think and live, then nothing changes. When we talk about the people of Palestine, we don't talk about, this is not a Muslim-Jewish problem. It's not a racial problem. It's not a cultural problem. It's a problem of huquq, of rights. People who are deprived of their rights. People have something taken away from them unlawfully. This is the problem. Never lose the sight of that. It has nothing to do with culture or religion or anything else. It has to do with one simple thing. Huquq. There are rights here. There was persecution and oppression. And that goes for every other act of persecution, of oppression that have happened all across the world. As Muslims, we stand by the oppressed wherever they may be. We stand by the rights of those who are persecuted and oppressed, regardless of what their background is, or who they are, or who did it to them. The Prophet ﷺ, I'm just going to spam you a number of hadith. I'm going to spam them. لا يمنعن أحدكم مخافة الناس أن يقول الحق إذا رآه. Do not allow the fear of people to stop you from saying what is righteous when needed. يقول عبادة بن الصامت بايعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نقول الحق ولو على أنفسنا ولا نخاف في الله لومة لائم. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, amongst the bay'ah he made with us, is that we speak the truth. We are righteous even if it goes against our personal interests. And we don't fear anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when doing so. Abu Dharr would say, أوصاني خليلي بسبع, my beloved gave me 7 pieces of advice, and he said one of them, أن تقول الحق وإن كان مرا, that you say that which is righteous even if it's bitter. يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام, لا يدخل الجنة أحد من أهل الجنة وقبله مظلمة لأحد من أهل النار. No one from أهل الجنة will enter Jannah if they owe a right to someone from أهل النار. They stand outside. They do not enter. If you owe someone a right, you stand outside and you do not move until that has been dealt with. And if in dunya you can deal with it with a little bit of money and an apology and a breaking of your ego, yawm al-qiyamah, none of that works. يوم القيامة, the currency is حسنات and سيئات and جحيم and عذاب, and that's what the currency is. The currency is punishment. It's much more expensive and way worse than whatever you can imagine here in dunya. Umar ibn Khattab would send a message to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who was his judge. He sent him as a judge. It's a long, Ahad Umar al-Abi Musa, it's a long document, it's a beautiful document. You can read it online if you like. I'll quote this piece of it. قال, وَلَا يَمْنَعَنَّكَ قَضَاءٌ قَضَيْتَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ فَشَاوَرْتَ فِيهِ عَقْلَكَ وَهُدِيتَ فِيهِ إِلَى رُشْدِكَ أَنْ تَرْجِعَ إِلَى الْحَقِّ فَإِنَّ الْحَقَّ قَدِيمٌ لَا يُبْطِلُهُ شَيْءٌ وَالرُّجُوعُ إِلَى الْحَقِّ خَيْرٌ مِنَ التَّمَادِي فِي الْبَاطِلِ. Then I don't allow a judgment that you gave the other day, that you went home and you thought about it, and you let your mind contemplate it, and you found that you had made the wrong decision. Don't let anything stop you from going back to righteousness, to haqq, because haqq is qadim, because haqq is divine, as we told him, because haqq is divine. Nothing annuls it, and nothing you do or you or say will make it not worth going back to it. And going back to haqq is way better than continuing into batil. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي, في سورة الأنفال نتحدث عن قوانين النصر والعزة والكرامة. هذه القوانين في سورة الأنفال يعلمنا الله سبحانه وتعالى من خلالها كيف ننهض بأمتنا. وقد تحدثت عن قانونين اثنين, تحدثت عن الأنفال, عن المادية, وكيف أنها المحطة الأولى التي يفشل فيها الناس, والأخرى الإعداد, وركزت على الإعداد المادي, وإن كان الإعداد له أنواع كثيرة سأتحدث عنها. واليوم نتحدث عن قانون الحق. الحق, واستخدم الله معركة بدر لتعليم هذه المسألة. فأهل بدر لم يكونوا يريدون الخروج للقتال, وكانوا يريدون لو أن غير ذات الشوكة تكون لهم, أي يأخذون القافلة من أبي سفيان ولا حرب. لكن الله سبحانه وتعالى أراد أن يحق الحق, ليحق الحق سبحانه وتعالى. القضية ليست قضية مال, القضية قضية حق وحقوق يجب الدفاع عنها, ويجب الحديث عنها, ويجب الوقوف مع أهلها. وهذا مما لا يختلف عليه عاقلان اثنان في الإسلام. لكن ضاعت هذه الأمة عن سبيل الحق وطلبه. الحق يحتاج إلى أهله, يحتاج إلى الذين يتمسكون به, أولئك الذين لا يهمهم على من تسلط الأضواء ولا يستمعون إلى كلام الآخرين, فهم يعملون للحق خلف الأستار, يتوارون عن الأنظار. أهل الحق واقفون معه, يعملون معه بما استطاعوا أينما كانوا وأينما حلوا. وهذه المسألة يا أخواني مهمة, إذ أنت في بلد ربما تكون بعيدا عن أحداث يعني يهمها أمرك, يهمك أمرها, لكنك تستطيع أن تقف مع الحق إذا شئت. فالوقوف مع الحق أمر لا يتجزأ في الإسلام ولا يتجزأ في الحياة. What I want to share with you here is the fact that when we talk about righteousness, we're talking about doing the right thing. This has to be our guiding beacon. This has to be what we look at. The decisions that we make on a daily basis in our homes, in our businesses, with our friends, at our schools, in our institutions, in our communities, has to be guided by doing the right thing. Nothing else should be looked at with any degree of weight. You don't do istikhara between doing the right thing and the wrong thing. You do istikhara when both of them are right, you're just not sure which is better. You have no way to figure it out, you've tried everything. But when something is right and something is wrong, you don't need board meetings. You don't need to have long conversations. You don't need a fatwa. You just do that which is right. Figuring out what is right is not hard. You don't need to be a scholar. You just need to have decency. You just need to be a decent human being. regardless of your religion and your faith or your culture, you are able of knowing what the right thing to do is 99% of the time, with little to no education at all of knowing what the right thing to do is. But then we compound things. We add other angles so we can give ourselves a way out. We need a way out because haqq is hard to stand by. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. It's difficult. And it takes a lifetime of sacrifice. So we don't do it. And then we struggle on every level. And we'll continue to do so until the day of judgment. When you read Surah Al-Ra'd, it talks about the law of haqq in detail. There's a verse in it I want you to listen to. So he says, قَدْ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا فَاحْتَمَلَ السَّيْلُ زَبَدًا رَابِيًا. He descended from the skies water, and rivers ran. And on the top of the river was that scum. If you've worked in a farm before, you know the water. On the top of the water, there's zabad, the foam that you see on top of it. And then he offers another example before he concludes. وَمِمَّا يُوْقِدُونَ عَلَيْهِ فِي النَّارِ إِبْتِغَاءَ حِلْيَةٍ أَوْ مَتَاعٍ زَبَدٌ مِثْلُهُ. And when you take gold and you subject it to extremely high temperatures and it becomes liquid, right on the surface, there's garbage, just some scum, not something that's not important. But it's always on the surface. It's always up there on the surface. What you see. When you look, you don't see the gold, you see the garbage. When you look at the river, you don't see the water, you see the foam. You see... كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. This is what he's saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how Allah gives you the example of righteousness and falsehood. فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءَ. The foam and the garbage, it all goes nowhere. It gets lost. It's worthless. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ. فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That which will bring people benefit will stay and find its roots in the ground. It'll go deep. كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. That's how your Lord gives you examples. حق is worth living for. حق is worth dying for. حق is the only value that nothing else should compete with within your heart and in your mind. And as an ummah, we have to find our way back again. To start asking these questions. This is the question you ask first. What is the right thing to do here? What is the correct decision? What is haqq? And then we adhere to it. We adhere to it unconditionally. Unconditionally. Now what can take that away from us? Oh, there's a lot of things that will be obstacles or serve as obstacles between us and the ability to actually achieve righteousness in our lives and pursue haqq. Self-interest. Self-interest, the epic problem. This will never end. You want to learn about this problem? Study his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. Study his life, that's all you see. All his life, his life is only this one thing. Haqq and self-interest, and he goes with haqq 10 times out of 10. It is, he's impeccable. It is magnificent. Just fascinating. Not once does he succumb to self-interest, not once. It is mind-blowing. You stand in awe of the character of this person who not once, didn't matter what type of temptation or how much fear or how weak or how difficult things were, he always chose to do the right thing, alayhi salatu wasalam. I don't understand it. When you study him, you'll get what I mean. But that's the story. Self-interest and righteousness. Your self-interest will always be an obstacle standing between you and achieving haqq and doing the right thing. Always, always. It'll never go away. This will never stop. It doesn't matter what age you are and where you are in your life. Your self-interest will always be something between you and between what you know is the right thing. Racism stands between people and achieving haqq. Racism, when we look down at others, when we don't see people to be equal to ourselves. Nepotism, when we give those who are close to us advantages and we don't treat people equally and fairly. It stands between us and achieving haqq. Hatred, anger. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. And do not allow the hatred and the anger you have towards people make you a group of people who are not just anymore or who lack fairness. You don't allow it because haqq trumps all. It comes in, it swooshes in, and it removes everything. And all you have left is just haqq. And that's all you've ever needed because that's what he created everything based on. In the moment there's no haqq, that's when yawm al-qiyamah stands. And then al-haqq subhanahu wa ta'ala himself hold you accountable to the value of al-haqq that he created everything for. It is that important, yes. It is that central in our deen. And I will say that we have lost sight of it a bit. We've lost sight a bit of what is right. What is the right thing to do? You want to be successful. This ummah wants to find victory and prevalence again. Then it has to adhere to haqq. We have to be people who stand firmly by al-haqq and return to it whenever we lose our way from it, because we will. You're human, you'll lose your way. You'll deviate and find yourself in a position where this is not haqq anymore. And no matter how far you are and how much time you spent and how much interest, how much you're tangled in all of it, you get rid of it all and you come back to haqq again. It's always worth doing. It's always worth doing. I'll end with that, inshallah ta'ala. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين. اللهم فرج عن أخواننا المستضعفين في غزة فلسطين وفرج عن إخواننا في السودان اللهم احقن دماءهم اللهم تول أمورهم اللهم استر عوراتهم اللهم آمن روعاتهم اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا اللهم من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا